Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring, and I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. So give us a call if you have something you wanted to talk about. I thought I'd start out talking this evening about the scientist who worked at Fort Detrick, Maryland, dealing with anthrax, who committed suicide recently, and now they're trying to convince us that this man was responsible for the anthrax attack. Why? Well, after all, he's Roman Catholic, and he is pro-life, and the two senators who received the anthrax were Democratic senators who were not pro-life. That's why he actually sent them the anthrax letters. Well, is that true? Is there any evidence of that? No, doesn't matter. It sounds logical, doesn't it? And after all, he's had some emotional problems. Why would anybody who had emotional problems be given a top-secret clearance and be working with a deadly substance like anthrax? And let me point out, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a story is as phony as a $3 bill. Is there any evidence that he knew that the anthrax attack was coming? Was he taking Cipro or something else to protect himself from this? Because Cipro is very, very specific for anthrax. It's an antibiotic you take if you've been exposed or you think you might be exposed to anthrax. In fact, if anybody knew the attack was coming, wouldn't you think if they were a government employee, they would have an obligation to notify the government so everybody could get started on the antibiotic? If somebody knew the attack was coming, wouldn't they have a moral obligation to try to stop it? Well, who did know the attack was coming? And, of course, if you remember what happened immediately after the September 11th attack, why the Vice President of the United States and the entire White House staff started on Cipro. Why would they start on Cipro on the evening of September 11, 2001, unless they knew the attack was coming, anthrax attack was coming, because Cipro is a potentially dangerous antibiotic, and Cipro actually causes you to rupture your tendons. You can't be playing tennis and doing other things. In fact, Dick Cheney had to stop playing tennis for a couple of months because, you know, he'd been taking the Cipro. Why would he take Cipro unless he knew the attack was coming? Why would the entire White House staff, who at that time was thinking of the possibility of an anthrax attack, other than Dick Cheney and the people who worked at the White House? And if they knew this was coming, don't you think they would have had an obligation to tell the military, to tell others, so that they could protect themselves, tell the members of the Senate? And if you go back and you study what happened, of course, the anthrax attack was used to get the members of Congress to pass the Patriot Act, which was a massive expansion of government power along the way to a dictatorship in America. I throw this out. You can go back, you can look it up, Google in Dick Cheney, Cipro, September 11th, and you'll find this is true. We've got the articles stashed away. But nobody likes to think about the implications because they're rather frightening. You mean to tell me that people knew the anthrax was coming and did nothing to stop it? Well, we'll be back here in just a moment. Now, remember, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's Open Line Wednesday. We'll talk about what you'd like to talk about. If you want to talk about the economy, you want to talk about the coming attack on Iran and what it's going to mean to you, we'll be glad to talk whatever you'd like to. But right now, we've got Bud who's calling from Flint, Michigan, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Bud, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I saw the program Riddles and Stone I saw you on it. It was a great program.
I thought the DVD that was put out by Chris Pinto, yeah, Riddles in Stone, the Secret History of America's, the Architect of the DM, Nation's Capital.
I got three questions. I hope you don't mind me asking three. The first one was, I was wondering what you knew about this guy, Maitreya, that Benjamin Cream is promoting. And the second and third one had to do with, what did you know about Project Bluebeam and HAARP, H-A-A-R-P?
All right, fine, and then HAARP. First of all, who is Maitreya? Well, Maitreya is the Christ. Maitreya is the Christ that everybody's been waiting for. You see, every religion, whether it be the Hindu religion waiting for the return of Krishna, or the Buddhist waiting for the return of Buddha, or the Muslims waiting for the return of the Mahdi, or the Jews waiting for the return of the Messiah, or Americans, pardon me, the Christians waiting for the return of Jesus, they already, at least everybody, many people call the person on the other side, Maitreya. And he is to be the world ruler. And of course, Benjamin Krim writes about him extensively, and you can read about him in Share magazine. We can read about him in a book that we actually carry. It's called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People, written by Wayne Peterson, who was recruited into the occult by David Rockefeller, at least according to this book that Wayne Peterson had written. And he's met Maitreya, who is this supernatural individual who is coming to rule the world. In fact, Wayne Peterson and occultists from all throughout the world are moving to Henderson, Nevada, where they are waiting at the imminent return of Maitreya. He is an ethereal being. He's a supernatural being. He is the man who heads the Elder Brothers, the Masters of Wisdom, the Ancients of Wisdom, as it were. And basically, of course, I believe this is a demonic being that they're thinking, but they interpret this as the return of the promised Messiah, who's going to come to rule the world. Of course, I think it's the Antichrist, who will be put in power by Satan, and just as we have within Christianity a Holy Trinity, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They have an unholy trinity. That would be Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. And Maitreya would be the Antichrist. Does that answer your question, Bud, for the first question?
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, the second question is, what do I know about Project Bluebeam? And I'll have to admit, I don't know much about it at all. So I'll take your third question. Rather than comment on something, I've heard of Bluebeam, and I really don't know about it. Maybe somebody... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest right now calling in from Flint, Michigan, is Bud. I'm calling from Flint. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And Bud was asking about Maitreya, and I gave him a little of the background on Maitreya, who, of course, is this ethereal being. I really believe he's a demonic being who is believed by the occultists is going to come to rule the world. I think, it's, of course, is the Antichrist that they're waiting for. But, of course, there are many people who claim they've seen Maitreya. I give one example of a man named Wayne Peterson who wrote a book which we carry. You will not find it in our regular catalog because I don't want people to think that we approve of this, but if you're interested in reading the other side and you're deeply steeped in the Christian tradition and will not be swept away by this occult writing because it's very convincing, the book Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings by Wayne Peterson, who is recruited into the world occult movement, according to his claim, by David Rockefeller. And Wayne Peterson has met the Maitreya on several occasions. This demonic being, and he and his cohorts are waiting over in Henderson, Nevada for the return of the Maitreya. Just very, very similar to the story of the strange encounters of the third kind, when, of course, people from all over the world were going to the mountaintop waiting for the return of this space vehicle. Now, the second question was Project Bluebeam, which I really don't know too much about. The third question was HAARP. And, of course, HAARP is the High Altitude of Rural Research Project. There is a base up in Alaska. There's several of them down along the equator. And it may well be that the Russians and Chinese have them as well. We've given them the technology for it. And it is a vehicle by which you can heat the ionosphere, and you beam this very powerful beam of energy up into the ionosphere. You can heat the ionosphere, and as you do that, of course, the particles there rise, and as they rise, why, of course, then, of course, air has to rush in from the surrounding areas, and this is how they can alter the direction of the jet stream. Now, this is all top secret. Oh, we can't let Osama bin Laden know what we're doing with HARP. That's the justification for it. We've got to have this secrecy. And the truth of the matter is, they have to have this secret because they don't want the American people to know what's going on. But this project has been underway for about 10 years. We have at least one 4-tape set on HARP. We carry an excellent book. It's entitled The HARP, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. That's the ultimate weapon of the conspiracy, HARP, the ultimate weapon of the conspiracy. And it is a program, I believe, is being used for weather modification. It may also have some application as far as an anti-ballistic missile system interceptor is concerned. But it allows you to centralize tremendous amounts of energy in truly a death beam. A billion watts of electricity, perhaps even much more than that, is being beamed on a regular basis up into the ionosphere, and I believe it is being used as for weather modification. Of course, we see all sorts of changes in the weather. Here in California, we're having really a terrible drought, whereas, of course, in the Midwest, you're seeing terrible flooding. So they know what they're doing. They just don't want us to know, and they're spending our tax money on projects that they will not reveal to the American people, because after all, we wouldn't want Osama bin Laden, or is it Putin, or is it the Chinese Communists? Well, there's somebody's out there as an enemy, and that's why we can't let the American people know what we're up to, because they might tell Putin, or they might tell the Chinese Communists, or they might tell Osama bin Laden. But let me tell you that we've given our technology to the Russians and the Chinese Communists. We always have. Don't you remember when Bill Clinton was in the White House and of course, there was a technology for MIRVing warheads. The Chinese tried to put missiles into space. They couldn't get them off the ground. So we gave them the technology so they could not only get their missiles off the ground, but so they could MIRV their warheads and be incredibly accurate. Thanks. It was all developed with our tax money, and we've given it to the Chinese Communists. So they will be able to use it against us in the coming World War III, which I fear is increasingly imminent. Now, does that answer your question at all, bud? You have another question you'd like to ask?
Yeah, I'd heard something about HARP being able to cause earthquakes.
Yes, there are some people who believe it can, but you see, we don't know. Bernard Eastland, who actually had developed the technology and had the patent on it, and eventually it was taken over by the government, felt that certainly it could be used to modify the weather. And of course, there are many people who believe, of course, that this can be used to create earthquakes, to focus this beam bounced off the atmosphere or the stratosphere and down into areas. And we know that if you read material comes out of Pravda in Moscow and out of China, that they believe that the American government actually precipitated this terrible recent earthquake in China that killed 70,000 people. They believe that. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I believe that all sorts of technology that is available through this tremendous concentration of energy, basically they have a lot of natural gas up in Alaska, and rather than bottling it up or compressing it and sending it down here or selling it on the market, they use it in generating plants to be able to generate a billion watts of electricity. That's a lot of watts of electricity. But you may very well be right that it is being used for earthquakes, but it is all top secret. Basically, if you want to know more, I suggest Jerry Smith's book, HARP, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, and the 4-tape set, because it deals with all these as possibilities, but it is all conjecture, because nobody works for government, dares come out and tell the truth, because they don't want to spend the rest of their life in Leavenworth Prison, and there are a lot of people in federal prisons who try to get the truth out, and have been locked away. And, of course, once they get out, of course, I had a fellow I knew, I didn't know him personally, but I knew of him, one of the leaders of the conservative movement, and because he was telling the truth about what was going on, he was arrested and sent away on trumped-up charges. He got out of prison. He started to tell the story again. They arrested him and sent him back to prison the second time, and they told him if he ever spoke out again, why, he would never get out of prison. Now, he's out of prison. He will not talk to anybody. He will not talk to me or to anybody else. He lives in constant fear, because, of course, he realizes, of course, the American prison system is being used to silence people who know the truth. Do you think it's simply by accident that in America today, one out of every 100 adults is in prison? One out of every 32 adults is in prison, probation or parole? Do you think that's just by accident? One out of every 3 young black men between the age of 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. I mean, we have more people per capita in prisons in America than they have in communist China. They have about 1.6 million people in prison in communist China, with a population of about 1.25 billion. Here in America, with a little over 300 million, we have 2.3 million people in America in prison, and some of those people are there because they tried to get the truth out to warn the American people, and of course this was their reward. Anything else?
Yeah, just one more question.
All right, well, let me just get our telephone number out once again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And what's the last question, Bud?
What do you know about this Jesus Sonata? I've heard some people say he would be the false prophet.
What is his name again?
Jesus Sonata.
I really don't know anything, but I'll tell you that the next hour we're going to be doing an interview with Carol Matriciana. We're going to be talking about Todd Bentley. So you'll certainly want to hear that, because he's another man who claims to be a prophet.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for listening. Say, I want you to get the rest of those people back there in Flint listening to us, will you?
Yep. I'll
okay.
Do that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay,
good night. Thanks. And let's go to Roger, calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Thanks, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to share a few things I saw that they didn't neglected to mention on these news reports of the last few days on the ostensible anthrax, whatever the word is I'm looking for. The guy, I don't think it meets the test on a number of grounds. Now they...
It doesn't really pass the smell test, I think.
And for a variety of reasons,
right.
You know, you recall... Yes, they did come out and say, yes, it was the same exact strain he was working with. Well, big whoop. I think if we all heard correctly, several years ago, it was the same exact strain that they'd already developed in their limited weaponized stocks. So that shouldn't be any mystery or any indicator pointing to him. And you recall also when they were hashing this over, even... Cheney, I guess, came out on Meet the Depressed there saying about how you'd need a whole tractor trailer size full of equipment, specialized dryers, et cetera, as well as he's only ever, they purported, only ever had the liquid strain available to him, and it does take that specialized dryers, and then you need the micronizing apparatus to mix the bentonite clay with and all this other stuff. And we were told this, in fact, was the exact government stocks. And supposedly, I'm thinking, even if he had managed to cook this up in the corners somewhere, which is not totally impossible, I think still improbable.
I don't think you can, Roger. You've got to have, you've got to be able to grind that down to this very, very fine level. And, of course, you would have to have all sorts of special precautions. This was done at a government laboratory.
Well, I'm just thinking somebody looking at it under a microscope
right.
would have seen subtle differences between his product, even if he was using the same exact procedure and their actual on-hand stocks. So, but what we do know for certain is that while Bush, Cheney, et cetera, were taking the Cipro, there's only one really sound explanation for that, because supposedly no one had any knowledge that there was anything coming down the line. So my only thinking is that their operative might go wild on them and either send one their way, or one of the envelopes would have found its way inadvertently into their offices. I mean, that could always happen, right?
Anything is possible, Roger. We really don't know. That's what's so intriguing about this whole situation. And we can't trust anything we're being told. We do know one thing, and that is, of course, this whole scenario is propaganda. And to explain why he sent the letters to the two Democratic senators, who incidentally would have voted against the Patriot Act, is because they were Roman Catholic and they were in favor of abortion. Does that justify this whole scenario they're putting out? I don't think so. Hang on there.
Sure.
Okay, go right ahead, Roger.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily doubt the guy's suicide as such. Apparently he was a bit flaky and such. But that still doesn't make, and, you know, being hounded and whatnot, that may have been enough incentive for the suicide by itself.
Well, isn't it amazing how many government officials commit suicide? Remember Vince Foster? Foster, who was, of course, very close to the Clinton administration, and it was a very convenient suicide. And, of course, all of his records were picked up by Hillary, even in violation of the law, and they've never been seen again because Vince Foster understood what had happened at Waco. He was the legal advisor to the President of the United States, and there's no question at all that he did not commit suicide. In my estimation, going back over the issues of people we talked to at that time, the pattern of harassment that was put upon people who objected to the official government and the story of what happened, and I have no question at all that Vince Foster was murdered. And the question is this other fellow murdered? We will never know, because they're going to cover up any evidence one way or the other. And unless somebody who is part of the inside comes forward and tells the story, we will never know. But then when the person comes forward and tells the story, for instance, the man who was involved in the murder of Martin Luther King, a fellow named Lloyd Jowers, and he came forward and confessed. He was dying of cancer, and he came forward and confessed, and there was a trial that went on for 4 months, and of course his confession was entered. The jury heard the trial and heard the evidence and decided the government, the federal government, was responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King, and not a word in the controlled media. How could you cover something like that up? And time again, there's a gentleman who was actually involved in the manufacture of the AIDS virus, and he had, of course, gone to a man named Gary Glum, who had written a book about it called The Final Disclosure. Try to find a copy up on the internet today. They're hard to find as hen's teeth, but nobody ever heard that story, unless, of course, they've heard me talk about it, or perhaps Gary Glum talk about it. So even if the people who are involved in these heinous crimes comes forward, they never the information is never circulated.
Yeah, well, my point quickly was just that either suicide or not, that still doesn't take us one step closer to even a plausible case as to how this guy could have cooked the product, and God bless.
All right, fine. Well, thanks very much, Roger. Always good to hear from you. All right, let's go to Ken, who's calling from Kentucky. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you tonight?
Doing just fine, thanks.
Hey, I don't know if this is one of the topics you wanted to discuss.
Well, this open line, we talk about any topic. One question before we get into it, Ken. Are you listening to our program there on the Internet shortwave or the station there in Lexington?
We listen to it on shortwave.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead.
I was Kentucky a while back, a few months ago, was designated to be an experimental state to test out the new ID card.
Uh-huh.
They said, and we called some of the McConnell and some people like that and inquired into it, and we couldn't find out for sure that they intended to do it, but we haven't heard anything lately about that ID card that was to be tested out in the state of Kentucky.
I can't really help you. I haven't heard anything about it either, and it looks like maybe this has been put on the back burner for the time being, at least I hope so.
It seems to be, because we haven't heard any publicity on it lately,
right.
But we did make calls to some of the representatives, and what you usually get back over here.
Hold that thought for just a moment until we bring other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, this is Open Line Wednesday. We've got Ken calling from Kentucky asking about the ID card. And he said he'd heard that Kentucky was going to be used as the state where they were going to try to get a new federal ID card, just like it was in Hitler's Germany, and everybody's got to have government papers. And they were going to experiment with it in Kentucky, and yet so far nothing's happened. And I really believe it's because so many people were so upset, you know, the idea of forcing the states, with threats, you know, of all sorts of reprisals if they didn't go along with the federal program to make the state driver's license a federal ID card. That, of course, I think the federal government's backed away because a number of the states, I think the governor of Montana and several other states has said, we're not going to go with this. Well, you can't, it's sort of like you can't have a one-world government unless everybody's part of it. You can't have a federal ID card unless every state participates. And despite all of their threats and efforts to force the states to go into it, some of them oppose them. You have to understand the conspiracy on the other side is very weak. They don't have that many people. So they do everything with chutzpah. They do everything with threats and intimidation. And when the people object, they back down. So I think that's really what's happened. Ken, I hope so anyway.
Well, that possibly is it, because the representatives, state and some of the federal representatives that we talked with, they wouldn't acknowledge that was really the case. But they did say they were interested in it. And so, we got letters come back into the mail. They always respond saying they're greatly interested in our concerns.
But that means, of course, just don't bother me anymore with your trivia.
Yeah,
things.
That's right.
But
I'm a retired military, and I've been in some of the countries where the rights of people certainly didn't match what I used to know here. And I've seen the deterioration so bad that we do take an interest in things when we hear about them. And our sources of the fact that they were going to try that out here in this state were similar to the ones when they printed money a long time ago, back during the Reagan's administration, and they were going to put new money into effect, which they have now, but back then they were going to do it, and we checked into that back then, and that was happening then. Anyway, I wanted to mention that about that federal ID card.
I'm so glad that nothing's happening, and I just hope this thing is going to go by the wayside. But we really don't know. These people are going to keep coming back again and again and again under one guise or another. And I fear that, as we move closer into a war with the Muslim world, and this is all in the plans and the destruction of our economy and the impoverishment of our people, maybe the people will, of course, destitute, having lost everything they have, be willing to look to the government, to the master, to provide for them. My fear is the people of America are going to lose their independence and be willing to go along with whatever the government tells them. And it's not the government. It's our government has been taken over by a very small group of very wicked people who use the legitimate form of our government to advance the nefarious programs. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we try to tell you how it all ties together and the spirits of forces that energizes these people.
Well, I'm sure that that's these groups that come forward and they keep trying. Eventually, sometimes, though, unfortunately, they succeed.
Well, we just have to be here, and I'm glad you're back there in Kentucky just talking to people and keep telling them what's going on. We're losing our freedom. They've convinced us we're a democracy. We're not. We're a republic. They've convinced us the government can do whatever they want to. They cannot. These people are lawbreakers who have violated the oath that they swore to defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and they are the domestic enemies.
Well, we enjoy listening to you. You're spreading the knowledge that you have, and we enjoy shortwave listening to you almost every night. So
God bless you. Well, I'm so glad to know you're out there, Ken. Thanks very much for listening. And please try to get other people to listen. And if they don't listen now, they're going to listen later because they're going to be looking for answers. And hopefully we'll have them, and hopefully we'll be here.
Well, last Christmas, the presents to my four children scattered from here throughout North Carolina and so forth. We're shortwave radios, so they could stay current with information that comes in that you don't get on the national network.
All right, fine. Well, just point out that Radio Liberty is heard every evening here, at least the first hour. And we've got great coverage the first hour. Maybe one day we'll get on the second hour. God bless. Thanks very much, Colin, Ken.
Well, thank you. God
Bye-bye.
Be with you.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Ken, and now let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. If you have a question or comment, you bring up the subject, we'd love to talk to you about it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Jack on the line from Michigan. I'm the second time I've talked to Jack today. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. Oh, A-OK, thanks. Yeah, we're getting a monsoon season here this year. Throughout this entire summer, it's been a real wet.
You know, is that unusual for Michigan? I don't know the weather patterns there ordinarily, but is this unusual?
You know, it varies from year to year. Sometimes it's a drought. Yeah, this year it's definitely not a drought.
Okay.
But the anthrax story harkens to what I had heard on other programs, talk radio in the past, regarding since 9/11. Last count I heard about a year ago, there were 70 to 80 top flight microbiologists and or cell biologists that had mysteriously committed suicide or tragically died by jumping off a bridge or in a car accident, whatever, or were found, you know, murdered. And then this guy here supposedly was the culprit in the anthrax scenario when I've heard on George Norrie's program. In fact, last night George Norrie had a fellow on who I think could well be a believer. He presented rather well substantiated evidence that the CIA and possibly NSA, maybe it's a joint operation, but using their super high-tech brain entrainment technology, they can induce voices in people's heads, as it were, on a regular basis, directing them to do whatever. And it's being done, in fact, in some local proximity to the target person. So JFK was certainly on track when he wanted to disband the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it in the wind. Of course, the NSA should go right along with it. And I think anybody who really wants to help save America could circulate their own petition. Because really, when I read the... Have you ever seen the Citizens Rule Book from Witten Publishers?
I've seen things called the Citizens' Rule Book that contains the Constitution and the Declaration, but I don't know if that's what you're speaking of.
Yeah, it's the Bill of Rights Jury Handbook. And
hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Jack. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is this evening is you out there in the listening audience. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Jack is calling from Michigan and was talking about the Citizens Rule Book. Of course, his contention, or at least he's heard some of the people suggesting that the scientist who committed suicide over the supposedly over the anthrax situation was perhaps a victim of a CIA mind control program, and that the CIA has the ability to use various types of techniques to give people voices in their heads. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. Of course, there's a demonic component to this whole thing. Certainly, the intelligence agencies going all the way back to Elizabethan times have been involved in the occult. And for those of you who haven't yet seen a DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, part of this deals with, of course, the secret societies that existed in Great Britain in the early 1600s, and, of course, a man named Dr. Dee, who was part of British intelligence, and his number was 007. That's 007, and, of course, that's where Ian Fleming, who was part of British intelligence during the Second World War, got the idea of James Bond. License to Kill, 007. So, and of course we know then, of course, in the last century why Aleister Crowley, who is a Satanist, was part of British intelligence. We know in this century, a president of the United States, who was formerly the head of the CIA, was a member of a Luciferian organization, that Skull and Bones. His name was George Herbert Walker Bush. And if you doubt that, of course, there's a Luciferian initiation, when you go into Skull and Bones, you can go to the website, www.williamhkennedy.com. That's williamhkennedy.com, and you'll actually see pictures of videos were shot at great risk to the individual who took them of the Luciferian initiation of Skull and Bones. Certainly George Herbert Walker went through that. John Kerry, who ran for president in 2004, went through that, and so did George W. Bush, the Luciferian initiation. But you go see it with your own eyes, Chris. A picture's worth a thousand words. Jack, we've got a board full of callers. Do you have anything else you want to say before I let you go?
Let's see. Sean David Morton has appeared on the Coast to Coast program numerous times and has presented what he says is unimpeachable fact from his inside connections with, I think he said, the Pentagon, that the Dugway, Utah, the anthrax origins go to the CIA's Dugway, Utah location. This is, and then when you bring up the satanic connection in government, I can only reflect on the fact that numerous of the founding fathers, so-called, were in fact Freemasons. So I suspect that they had very distinct satanic influences in their respective roles.
Well, and I don't think that's fair to say. I mean, I don't think George Washington, the father of our country, was a Mason, but I don't think he really understood Masonry. I don't think most Masons understand Masonry. It is only the very top who understand that this is really the great architect of the universe who they worship is not the God of the Bible. It is the God of this world, oh, Lucifer. Hey, we're going to let you go, Jack. Thanks so much for calling, and let's go to Maggie, who's calling from Texas, waiting patiently on the line here. Hi, Maggie. What part of Texas are you calling from?
The Hill Country.
Okay, fine. And, of course, you're listening on shortwave internet or what?
Internet tonight, but I also do listen to you on shortwave.
Okay, fine. Well, it's good to have you. Do you have a question or comment?
Talked to you about fluoride before, and my question tonight is a little different. I have just been hearing that fruit juices, processed fruit juices, are a lot higher in fluoride than water.
It depends upon, you know, what they put in. Certainly a lot of the fruit juices are actually made from concentration, and then they simply add local water.
That's why,
if the water is fluoridated, then you're getting the fluoride.
Yes, but I'm hearing that in many cases there is actually more fluoride in the juices, and that has me puzzled, and I'm wondering, do fruits actually concentrate fluoride, or am I mistaken?
No, the fruits are smarter than we are. They do not. In fact, the only thing that really concentrates fluoride is tea, green tea. But the rest of these fruits and vegetables, they will stay away from it because they know it's a poison. The fruits and vegetables are smarter than we are. Dr. David Kennedy is to be the person to ask that, because he's actually analyzed many of these fruit juices. And if you'd like to call me off the air, we could put you in touch with him. But you may be right. I know there's certain of the grape juices were, because they spray the grapes with fluoride. Now, the grapes don't pick this up, but it is in the deadly spray that they spray on there, which is a fluoride spray.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
how it gets there.
How can I call you off the air? I would
call
like to know
more. Call us at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll call you back and tell you how you can get in touch with David Kennedy, okay?
Okay, was that 1-800 or 1-888?
1-800-544-8927. If you want to remember it easy, it's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are under attack today.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Dr.
God bless. Thanks so much, and let's go to... let's see. We've got Maria from Santa Cruz. So let's go to Maria here. Hi, Maria. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Well, I was listening to the program last night on George Norrie's program.
Right.
And I tried so hard to get, I couldn't get through the line. It was so busy. But I have problem myself, and I need help, and I don't know who can help me.
Well, what sort of problem do you have, Marie?
Oh, like the guy, Roger, the person named, by name Roger was talking about all the things and the people were talking. I go more than that. I experience, so many things. Like, I have called in the past, you know. I don't really know how to express it myself.
Well, are you coming under demonic influence?
No. The frequency weapons, you know, being bombarded with the frequencies.
If I can suggest, Maria, you call me off the air. I'll be glad to talk to you and perhaps put you into touch with people who might be able to help you, okay?
I would appreciate that.
All right, you
so
call
much.
Me off the air and I'll be glad to talk to you.
What's the number?
800-544-8927.
Oh, when could I call you?
You could call me tomorrow, and we'll be glad to talk to you. Okay?
I really appreciate this.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, of course, then let's go to Mike. And, of course, people say, oh, my goodness, people are being bombarded by waves. And, well, there really are some people, and they may be under demonic influence there. There really are a lot of things that are going on that most people have no idea what's really transpiring. I have actually had the opportunity I went back to visit Joyce of Riley and her husband there. We were doing a shooting of film. And the day before, a major general from the United States Army who was involved in the occult had been there. And he had taken one of their spoons and he'd bent it around in a circle, but not one circle, into a double circle, double helix circle. And Chris Joyce told me it was the most amazing thing she had ever seen. She gave me the spoon, and I'll tell you, there's no way it was humanly possible to bend that spoon. And yet, of course, this man who worked in the military within their occult unit, and we do have units within the military that are deeply involved in the occult and in contact with the other dimension. This major general had bent this into a double circle. I'll tell you, it was a little scary as you see it. And when you try to unbend it yourself and you realize there's no way you're going to bend that spoon. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And right now we have Mike on the line, and Steve is waiting from Illinois. Be patient, Steve. We'll be with you. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
A little comment, Stan. I just wanted to add to your call about the fellow was asking about the Maitreya.
Right.
And I wanted him to know, and others, excuse me, there's a great article on Wikipedia about him, a lot of history, a lot of different views from different so-called spiritual organizations around the planet and over the centuries. The name is spelled Maitreya, and it's worth a read. There's a short section on Share International, and Bible believers especially should understand what's going on with all this. He's expected to be a future or the final Buddha by the Buddhists. Of course, Benjamin Krem keeps talking about this, a big arrival. 20 years ago, they were trying to bring him out into the public and to establish this supposed spiritual reign, and they wanted to crown him as king or whatever they want to do with him.
They actually wanted to bring him out, you know, in the 1920s and 1930s. His name was Krishnamurti at that time. There has always been the person there that, who would fit in the Antichrist. There's one in every generation.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was then in the 20s and 30s, it was Krishnamurti. Today, they call him Maitreya. Apparently, he is alive. He is well, but, he is a supernatural being as well.
They seem to have this a string of mortal beings that they claim to be this Maitreya. But if you read Wayne Peterson's book, it's clearly a demonic being that is able to present itself as a physical being whenever it wants to. And he's some enlightened creature who's going to meet his fate one day, but not until after he wreaks his havoc. But we need to know that there are organizations that plan on bringing these people out into the public eye.
And, of course, they're planning on doing it as we move into our period of chaos and crisis, which is coming and coming very soon.
Okay.
Okay, anything else, Mike, before I let you go?
That's good enough. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye, and God bless. And this is, let's go to Steve calling from Illinois. He's been waiting very patiently on the line. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very fine. Thank you kindly. My fine friend, Doc. I've been watching, of course, everybody has. You have no choice to see China, albeit appalling and disastrous for this country especially, having its sphere of influence growing exponentially throughout the world. They are building up countries that we just went in and destroyed some of them and just left them a heap of rubble and that. And so it's quite understandable to see that their sphere is growing like that. And, you know, something people, I think, don't understand, when you see a write-down, billions of dollars of write-downs, what they call them, from these companies in the U.S., that's write-downs are not going to...
Well, I agree with you, but what was the point that you were trying to make there, Steve?
Well, yes, I understand. I see all these fires like out where he's at, and not too many people saying much about the evil that they're causing, because I think what they do in the long and probably short run is spur business activity. I think it's a terrible way to identity theft and these computer stuff for people to get them. Well, those are written off too to the U.S. taxpayer for our future generations, of which are never going to be able to get on top. I think we're being dismantled. A 30-year conspiracy in 2010 is going to be the end of that. It started under the Reagan administration and has really just done nothing but grown like a snowball to take this country down. And, boy, I'm...
Well, I think what we're seeing at the present time, of course, Steve, is we're seeing the destruction of the financial structure of this country, and it's being done intentionally and purposely, and of course it did start, well, it really started in August of 1971 when they took us off the gold standard, but it certainly was accelerated in the Reagan administration, and they're going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. And I think that we're in for some very difficult times. I believe that we're going to see a war, a massive expansion of the war in the Middle East over there. We're going to be in one way or another brought into a war with Iran. And the American people don't want this. The Iranian people don't want this. But it's coming just as sure as God made little green apples.
You bet.
And we know, for instance, for our listeners out there who do not know, that they are actually digging massive numbers of graves in Iran. The Iranian government is building 320,000, digging 320,000 graves. Now, if you doubt that, and you have a computer, go up and Google in Iran, 320,000 graves, you'll find out numerous references to it. I wonder why nobody here in America is talking about that other than here at Radio Liberty. So we're in for difficult times, but as long as we understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and we look to our Lord, why, this is the only means where any of us are going to get through what lies ahead.
Fear God and love God, people, and I think we'll make it through. There's going to be some difficult times, but I think we're actually going to make it through by the Supreme One. And I thank you very kindly, Doctor.
Thank you very much. Good night, Stephen. Because the old adage, as we certainly recommend it, is fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Love the Lord with all thy heart and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. And that's really the whole of the law. Well, let's go, to Marty, who's calling us from Kentucky. Hi, Marty. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan.
Now, you listen to us on radio or in shortwave?
On shortwave radio.
All right, fine. Of course, we got great coverage this time of night. So, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. You had a man call in about the supernatural, and I wanted to get your idea on this, please. There's been a lot of talk about the people who are getting gold teeth put in supernaturally, gold appearing, coming down on the hands, And we have a friend who's quite involved in this now, and we're very worried about it.
I would be worried about it, too. And I've actually had a friend who actually looked at these, the dentist, and he looked at those fillings, and he said, I mean, you know, they got sort of a goldish tinge to them, but they're terrible fillings, you know. God wouldn't have done a job like that. So if these are supernatural fillings, they didn't come from our God. Maybe they came from the other side.
Well, about 2 weeks ago we were talking, and they're giving seminars on this, and they're... And what is happening, really, that worries me, is that these people believe this is from God, and they have the gems coming out right through the building. Gems fall on the floor.
I think you have to realize, of course, that this is a supernatural battle we're involved in. There are people who actually can come in contact with the beings from the other dimension, and supernatural things will happen. But that doesn't mean it's from God. This is what the mediums
do. You know who M.O. is?
What?
It's a word. I was stationed in Japan one time, and the word M.O. is a satanic word from the Japanese.
Right.
And one of the men who preach in Lakeland has the design of M.O. on his arm.
And I bet most people have no idea what it means.
Well, M.O. is the name.
All right.
And it is the Japanese satanic, the number one satanic man is M.O. God, I should say man, God.
Well, if we're involved in the spiritual battle, as we tell you over and over again, Marty. And thanks so much for calling. We're just about out of time. And I appreciate so much your listening. And I agree with you. I share your concern about this.
Okay, and I appreciate you, and God bless you. Thank you for being on.
God, we'll be here as long as God keeps us there.
That's right. Good night now.
Well, let's go to Sylvia, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Sylvia. How are you doing?
How do you do, Dr. Sam?
I'm doing just fine.
I am so blessed to listen to you tonight. I ask the Lord, I pray for you every day.
Thank you so much, because I'll tell you, this is the only thing that's keeping us going. I've had so many of my friends have been doing this, and they've been, well, they're not around anymore. And I believe only God's keeping me here. So,
the spirit of warfare, like you constantly say. Yeah, I'll be quick. I just wanted to recall this particular incident that happened. I had went to this doctor that had specialized in this particular thing, and he had asked me to this particular time. He had asked me to do this particular thing, you know, the situation. He had asked me to sit on this table, right? And so, in my mind's eye, I seen a whole total different picture of what he said. And I did not what he had verbally said, but what had been projected into my mind to do. And then, you know, it came to me that this is not what he said, you know. And then I asked him, I said, Doctor, I don't understand what just happened here. And he said, well, you're not the first one, you know, to experience that. I asked him, I said, well, what happened? And he didn't go into detail. This man had projected an image into my mind.
Well, there's people who can actually do that. You want to stay away from that sort of person, because we're told in the book of Deuteronomy to stay away from clairvoyants and from diviners and fortune tellers and mediums. But there really are people who can project ideas into other people's minds, and you avoid them like you would the plague.
Mm.
I hope you've changed doctors.
Oh yeah, he was a specialist. He had specialized in intestinal problems.
Right.
And so, you know, it wasn't like my primary care doctor, but I had been very leery, you know, all the time I was going to him, because I felt like this man could control people, very easily.
And you just stay away from a lot of time, Sylvie. But thank you, and I'm so glad that you've recognized what was happening. You didn't fall into the trap, because when you witness the supernatural, it's so easy to say this has got to be a god, without realizing there's another God out there that has supernatural powers as well. And we've got to understand that He is the enemy, and we have to rely upon our Lord for protection.
Oh yes.
God bless you, and thank
God
you.
God bless you, too.
And please keep us in your prayers.
Yes, I most certainly will.
Okay, fine.
Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we hope that you enjoy our Open Lines program. We do this every Wednesday evening. We do it other times, too, when we don't have a caller, but fortunately, we look forward to your calls on Open Line Wednesday. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes of the month, or you can get our monthly newsletter. If you're anything, if you're able to help us, we're not tax-deductible because we want to be able to tell you the truth. And so unlike so many of the ministries, we do speak out, and we'll tell you a lot of things that other people are going to be afraid to say, because at least we're not an extension of the government as a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. Well, I certainly want to mention that we're having an opportunity to actually be on a major station up in Spokane. I think it's KTRW, and we'll be on there, of course, in drive time every day of the week and on the weekend special. And if you're living in the Northwest and you'd like to help us get on that station, we'd certainly appreciate it if you could, any support you can give us. We want to have the funds before we get onto the station, and we think we're going to be able to do it. We're planning on it. We've already ordered the satellite to be up there, and we have to have a special satellite so you can actually hear us, but hopefully it'll either be a delayed program, or maybe we might just be able to do it a live program, which would really be great. So if you are up in the Spokane area or in Washington and like to have us heard every day there in Spokane, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 999 in Soquel, California, 95073. That's 1-800-555-8427. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or you can certainly write to us at Post Office Box 999 in Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. Well, we do hope, of course, many of you out there will want to get our material. Really, we have a 3-pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy that rules the world today. We do carry Wayne Peterson's book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings or People, but of course you'll have to ask for it specifically by Wayne Peterson's book. It's on the special catalog list. It's not on the regular catalog. It is for researchers who want to read something written by those who have actually are on the other side. And Wayne Peterson, recruited into this world movement by David Rockefeller, the world occult movement, actually claims he has met Maitreya, the Lord. Well, of course, it's not our Lord. It comes from the dark side. And then, of course, we do hope many of you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the DVD of the talk. And then, of course, my producer is saying Post Office Box 969 or 999. You can send it to either one. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret. It's been passed down for 5,000 years. Now, of course, it's being popularized by Oprah Winfrey, by Larry King, by Jim Carrey, by certainly Ellen DeGeneres. You know, this is the path. This is the way to get ahead. You can harness this genie that's out there. It'll give you anything you want to. You can tap into the genie's power. And, of course, this comes from a book written by Rhonda Burns called The Secret. And it's worthwhile getting it and reading it, worthwhile watching her DVD. What she's telling you is the truth. The only trouble is, you don't want to tap into this other source because it's demonic power that you're harnessing. And, of course, the book tells you the ultimate secret. You are God. You are God. I mean, do you honestly believe that you're God? If you do, you've got a terrible ego problem, and you're going to be in real trouble one day when you stand before the bar of judgment. You must understand that they're recruiting literally millions of people in America and throughout the world into the demonic movement. And this is not imaginary, it's real. Man needs a God, but the trouble is these people are worshiping the wrong God. You need to get our DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, they sold their souls for rock and roll. The Da Vinci Con, excellent DVD by our friend Joe Simmel. That's the Da Vinci Con. You need to understand the Gnostic religion. You need to get our 4-tape sets on the supernatural. And you need to get the information available readily from Radio Liberty. And then please pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Carol Matriciano, who's certainly one of our favorite guests. We'd love to have Carol on. And, of course, Carol is a video producer. We carry a number of the videos, DVDs that she's done. But during the last hour, we were talking about false messiahs, and certainly one of the last callers we had, and I don't know whether our audience actually heard this woman, but she was calling from Sydney, Michigan, but I think probably our audience did, talking about the fact that people are getting their teeth filled, they're getting gold fillings put in supernaturally, and of course they're actually there are people who go around the country, and of course they put on these evangelical programs, and they say, you know, we're going to fill your teeth, God is going to fill your teeth supernaturally, and of course just you know, and the people got fillings in their teeth, but of course I've had a dental friend of mine look at some of these people. This was many years ago when this phenomenon was practiced here in Santa Cruz, and here's a man who spent his whole life in dentistry. He said, those are the worst looking fillings I ever saw. Yes, it almost looked like they were partly gold fillings, but, I mean, certainly God would never put in a filling that was that poorly done. I mean, putting in a filling is something that requires a great deal of skill. These people had fillings in their teeth appeared there spontaneously. Question is, who put them in and what was the substance? And it certainly wasn't pure gold at all, although it had appearance of it. It was a supernatural phenomenon. Do supernatural things really happen today? Well, I think that Carol will agree with us that they do, because, of course, she comes from out of the occult when she lived in India as a young lady there, a young woman during the closing days of the British rule of India, and then going to Great Britain and becoming involved with the occult, and then coming into a personal relationship with our Lord, and of course, now she's one of the great people that we have out there, one of the great warriors for the Lord, trying to warn people about these supernatural forces that really are there, but forces that you do not want to get involved with. Carol, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest on your show, and the story you've just told, what an amazing story.
Well, there are all sorts of stories out there. No, I hadn't thought of this in probably 30 years, but I remember 30 years ago they were talking about these supernatural filling of the teeth, and this woman said that this is going on in her area now. So this is an old story, but I don't think that God is putting in those second-rate fillings. Anyway, go ahead with the course, because I know you're very worried about this movement that is sweeping across America with this new evangelist who claims that God has given him supernatural power. So you pick up the story.
Yes, well, Mr. Todd Bentley, I heard of him several years ago. He's an evangelist that is Canadian-born and sort of came out of the Signs and Wonders apostolic movement, Manifested Sons of God, the Vineyard-y, you know, that whole thing that was going on in the sort of 70s, 80s of Vineyard, the move of the slain in the spirit things that we were hearing, the Toronto blessing,
right.
Then it came the Pensacola outpouring.
And the holy laughter, that was one of the things.
That's right, the holy laughter, the Vineyard Airport, if you remember. It's sort of a big thing, and there were these strange little clips on television of these, the holy laughter, the barking like the dog, the crowing like a rooster. And then one sort of didn't hear of it very much. But Todd Bentley, this young Canadian evangelist, was invited to Florida.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. All right, Carol, you pick up the story. Todd Bentley, this Canadian evangelist, was invited to Florida, and then the supernatural things began happening, and you pick up the story.
Well, he was invited to attend a church meeting, give a church meeting in Lakeland, Florida, in the early part of April. And the church sat 700 people and got overflowing within the first week. And so they got a much larger tent with thousands and thousands coming. But the interesting thing was that God TV picked it up and carried it on their prime time television. Now, God TV goes into 200 nations, over 200 nations around the world. So immediately, young Todd Bentley got ricocheted into global fame, if you will. And there were pastors that were being told that if they wanted the special impartation that came from him, special impartation coming down, this special anointing. This one is more different than any of the others because it was a power that would was absolutely necessary for churches all over the place. The power had to be picked up from Todd Bentley, and these pastors had to come, which they did from Australia, New Zealand, England, Ireland, Scotland, different parts of Europe. And, of course, the interviews continued on television. The meetings, which were meant to be only take a couple of weeks, then carried on into April, May, June, July. And thousands started coming from around the world. Some friends of mine were in India 3-4 weeks ago, and pastors in India were hearing about Todd Bentley and the magic or the power, I should say, the power of this man. The power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, those of us that are sort of hearing about this power wondered, now, where's he getting his power from? Well, he has visitations from an angel called Emma. And Emma, a female form of an angel who had the appearance of Catherine Kuhlman, skidded across the, glided across the stage. Looked like almost like a 22-year-old, but also ageless. And this angel was imparted to him by Bob Jones, not Bob Jones of University Bob Jones fame, but Bob Jones of this movement, the prophetic movement fame, had the same angel give him messages. So now here we had Todd Bentley teaching his thousands that they could walk through the heavenlies, that they could journey to different geographic locations in the heavenlies, because Todd had many, many visits to heavenly places, and he'd been all over, he said, and he had visitations and talks with different angels.
Hold that thought, we'll be right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Carroll's talking about an evangelist called Todd Bentley, and we've heard about him. Here, a number of people have come to me and said, don't you know Todd Bentley is bringing people back from the dead? Todd Bentley is leading a great revival. The great revival we've been waiting for is upon us. And, of course, you know this is going to save our country. And these are superhuman, supernatural things he's doing. God tells him to kick somebody in the stomach or kick them in the face. And he does it, and they're miraculously cured of whatever infirmity they have. He can sort of push on people. They fall over backwards. And you know. But, of course, the question is, where does his supernatural power come from? And of course, Carol Matriciano, who's a very astute observer and is certainly one of the people I put a great deal of confidence in her opinion, because she's been on the other side. She's come out of the occult. She knows, of course, the power of God, but she knows the power that is available from the dark side as well. And so you pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, I think what amazed me was that so many thousands and thousands of people every night, I mean, he carried on, aired consecutively by God TV every night for over 100 nights, as thousands of Christians came from different churches all over the world, and hundreds came to be healed in wheelchairs with sicknesses. And of course we saw the circus acts being filmed nowadays with YouTube and all these various filming that can be taken around blog sites very quickly. Within the movement of skeptics or apologetics, people, ministries that are trying to get to the bottom of truth, it was very, very easy to see that this man was lying. He embellished his stories were different, his visitations were different, to such a point that a few weeks ago, the secular press also picked up on this and started interviewing him and asked him if he could show proof of the resurrection of almost 30 people. The numbers had now grown up from just a few to 27 to almost 30. But no medical proof was offered to anybody. The dead that had been raised didn't come forward. None of the healings came forward with medical justification and paperwork. So the secular press, who were much more cynical than naive Christians a lot of times, were deep in their probing. There was also a lack of financial integrity that was exposed. And but he's come to a point where he will not apologize. He even his elders and people in authority, Peter Wagner, some of the higher ups in the movement who have are trying to distance themselves from him in the prophetic movement, trying to keep him corrected here. It's very interesting.
Carol, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
So, anyway, he broke his long-term visits, the outpouring, as they call it, in Lakeland, Florida, to come to Los Angeles weekend before last. And I went to see him at Galen Center with the seats, 10,000 people or more. I'm not sure that the top benches were filled, but it was certainly a very, very full house. And an interesting thing, Dr. Stan, because he's now come to the place where he can only have time to give his impartation to pastors, pastors were invited to come to through quite heavy scrutiny, in the sense of we had to bring papers to prove that we were legitimate pastors, and pastors only and their spouses could come. And orange wristbands were put around our wrists of those that had been passed.
In other words, you had to get screened before you could go then.
Very heavily screened, tight security, and we had to come several hours before the main crowds came in. So any of the main crowds that wanted to have the impartation, as he calls it, or the touch, would have been very disappointed that night, because the evening, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, whatever he calls it, the fire, I hate to be blasphemous and call it the wrong name, but this power that he wanted to impart would only go to the elect few, and the elect few were pastors who had churches, so that they could pass on this impartation to their churches all over the world. And
now, how many ministers do you think were there, Carol?
Sorry?
How many ministers do you think were there?
There were 500 in this room. We thought that we felt that there were about 500 people when it was very approximate. Now, that was 500 out of the several, almost 10,000 that the Galen Center holds. So let's even say that maybe it was 1,000 short, or maybe even 2,000 short. There were still 8,000 people in the arena that listened to this man that had come to hear him, to be healed by him, to hear his messages of how to get into the heavenly realms, the messages that he'd been getting from the spirit world to pass on to them. And then, of course, he talked about this powerful impartation, which he said was like, woof, woof, he'd say. And he'd yell out, fire, fire. Anyway, at the end of the whole evening, there was about 2 hours of very hypnotic, rhythmic music. The lyrics were not doctrinally based. They were very emotional, experiential based songs. And interestingly, when Todd walked on the stage, it was the first song that actually had the name of Jesus in it. I thought that was a very interesting sort of subliminal association with him being present on the stage, and then the words in the song changed to Jesus, which they hadn't been before. It was much more on feelings and freedom and all sort of different wordings. But so he did his thing, and after an hour of asking people to come forward for healing, and then thousands from the church, where he said that there must be spirits of drunkenness and perversion and pornography and bulimia and obesity and all these various spirits that he was going to heal people of, and hundreds did step forward. But for me, the sad point of the evening was to be herded along with these pastors into this back room and to see at least 500 leaders, church leaders, pastors, shepherds of churches come to be touched by this man in the middle of their forehead, in this place where in the mystical occult world it's the third eye, the psychic center. About a decade ago, I had been to Antelope, Oregon, where we filmed Gods of the New Age, when Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, the Indian guru, had bought over Antelope, Oregon. And he did this kind of impartation, the touching on the forehead, which is an occult way of transferring the power that is within the God-man, who becomes a channeler, to pass through his spiritual, supernatural energy, through his fingers, that he massages the third eye, the place in the middle of the forehead between the eyebrows, which within Hinduism is one of the highest psychic centers, where you become enlightened to realize that you are God himself, or the God awakening rises up through the Kundalini power within the person up to this third eye place. And then usually the person that's touched by the God man then manifests in all sorts of ways of either falling down, laughing, convulsing, jerking, becoming paralyzed, being still, going into a trance. All of these were the manifestations of this sort of demonic possession. And the saddest thing, Dr. Stan, that particular evening was to see hundreds of pastors be touched in their third eye area by this Todd Bentley, who called this the impartation, the fire of God. And as they got touched, they too fell and manifested very similar to manifestations I've seen with the touch of the mystics, the Hindu gurus, the channelers, the tantric God-men. It was a very, very, very sad sight. And some of the people I went forward to try and help, I saw this young lady trying to stand up and losing her balance. And so I...
No, this is after she'd been touched there.
A lot of sort of chaotic management in the room, because there were ushers that had megaphones that were trying to line the pastors up to make it easy for Todd Bentley to walk down rows, to be able to do the woof on a couple of dozen at a time, so he could get through this, because they'd said during the evening that obviously this kind of thing took him 4 to 6 hours in different countries with so many hundreds, and so they'd only selected the elite pastors for this. And so they lined the pastors up, the megaphones howled, the ushers tried to get the people into line, and then he'd come and he'd do his thing, and he walked by me. He was probably about 5 to 7 feet in front of me when he came by, and the power he exuded was immense. I mean, you could really feel a presence and a power in him.
And of course, you are probably much more aware of this than most people would be. But basically, we're told, you know, in the latter days, in the Second Thessalonians 2, we're told in the latter days there's going to be, before the man of sin is revealed, there's going to be a great falling away. These are our Christian ministers going, of course, to receive this supernatural power. Why don't they get it from God? Why don't they get it from the Bible? Why do they have to go to a man who claims, of course, he's gotten this power from some sort of an apparition? Is it perhaps a demonic being? Are our ministers being swept up into a demonic religion? We'll be right back. Well, Carol, this must have been quite a revealing experience for you, because you would be much more aware of this than the average minister would.
It was very sad. I was so moved, Dr. Stan, I could hardly sleep that evening. And the next day I was just thinking, Lord, how does one get this message out? I mean, that's when I called you and said, you know, we have to let Christians know. I mean, what do we need to, how can we discern in these last days? First of all, there were so many things that should have made red flags go up in pastors who read their word, who read their Bible. There's only one true anointing, and that anointing comes from the believer in Jesus Christ, and it comes through the Holy Spirit that God allows. God is the source of it. It's not something done through a man who claims to have some kind of impartation. And the touch within Hinduism and Eastern mysticism is part of a ritual called Shaktipat. And Shakti is the goddess Shakti within Hinduism, this female energy, this female force that drives the power in the universe. She's the cohort, the principal female power, mother goddess, if you will. And this is the energy, the serpent energy, that is aroused in this Shaktipat, where the God-man touches the devotee or the follower in the forehead, imparts the spirit, the deity, the power that he has in him. And this is how the demons sort of, it's believed that they go from person to person. So to see this man, Todd Bentley, supposedly a Christian. I mean, it was so easy to see. This man is a charlatan. He lied. The public press, the secular press, the bloggers have shown lie after lie, comparison by comparison. There aren't legitimate healings. There aren't resurrections that have come forward. And to have visitations in the heavenly realms, to go up to the heavenlies, to go and talk to dead people, which is absolutely forbidden in Scripture. In Deuteronomy, we're told we absolutely may not be involved in necromancy with the dead. And yet he goes up, he talks to Paul and Moses and people that have passed away. Sundar Singh, who is an Indian guru, who at the turn of the century, last century, was supposedly a Hindu-turned-Christian. And here he was, Sundar Singh, in the heavenlies, in this heavenly realm, talking to Todd Bentley. So if anybody has the tiniest reasoning of Scripture in him, they could have tested the spirits to see this was a false prophet with doctrines of demons, false teaching. And what amazed me is how could these pastors come forward. How could their experience be greater than the truth of the love of God, the love of the Word? How could they change having the love of the Word, submitting themselves to an experience? In Romans 8 it says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, these pastors were going for a fleshly impartation of power, and their minds were set against the
Lord.
Hold
that thought, Carol. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Carol Matriciana. She's describing her experience going to hear Todd Bentley, and then, of course, because she was associated with the ministers there, she went back at the end of the meeting with 500 ministers who were looking for that supernatural power that they would be able to get from this man with the supernatural ability, who, of course, had gotten this from an apparition. And Carol, of course, describes how these people line up, and then he comes along and he touches them on the forehead, and they fall backward and they become incoordinate. A supernatural experience. People want this supernatural experience. And, of course, they're not satisfied with the Word of God as it is written, and with the fact that we're warned against this sort of thing, against trying to get this supernatural ability, supernatural power. And 500 Christian ministers were there when she was there. And would you like to describe a little bit, you described how some of them became uncoordinated afterwards, after they'd collapsed, after he touched them?
Yes, I went up to one lady who was trying to walk. Her knees were buckled, and I asked if I could help her, and she was giggling and laughing, and I said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I'm just drunk in the Spirit. I'm drunk in the Spirit." And the words that came to my mind was, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is self-control. These people were not self-controlled. So I looked at her and I said, "Well, has this happened to you before?" "Oh, yes," she said. So obviously several of them must have been involved in churches that are quite familiar with being slain in the Spirit and sort of this type of what, you know, they have passed as Christian behavior, as biblical, as biblically acceptable, which of course it isn't. But I said, "Well, what is different about this experience?" And she said, "Well, this comes with the command that we must take it back to the churches, that we have to impart it to others." And I said, "So this is a stronger calling?" "Oh, yes, this is a very strong calling that we have to take this impartation in order to spread the fire, spread the revival." It was these sort of words, as though man it can manipulate God, as though we dare. I mean, how dare we think that God is a puppet who can be manipulated, that we can take this power from him, when he clearly says in the scriptures, with Nicodemus, the story of being born again, that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from and where it goes. God himself is the source of the Holy Spirit, and he is the one that imparts his Spirit and dwells in us. And for the arrogance of this so-called prophet of God to say that he has got this impartation of revival, and he's such an outstanding liar. But anyway, I tried to get this girl to this lady to explain her experience and her feeling, and she said, "Oh, I can control it if I want, but I don't want to control it. It feels so good." And I remember thinking of my days back in the occult when I was, I'm ashamed to say, in my relationships in the supernatural world, the experience was so heavenly. It was so deceptive. It was so white and light and incredible. But here were Christians, and I'm just reminded of the scripture in 2 Corinthians where 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul says, "For such men are false apostles and deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan transforms himself as an angel of light." And this is the thing, that these people, that these spirits were able to transform themselves into a sort of biblical, or at least to Christians, to appear as though this was a Christian experience, which, of course, it isn't if you measure it against the truth of Scripture. But I went around asking several people, and they all said they felt wonderful. They were drunk in the Spirit. This was a great feeling. They were so excited. They were filled with God. They were in the presence of God, as though this man's touch, this magic technique, could get them into the presence of God. It was a very, very, very sad evening. As I say, only once before, when we were filming for our movie for Gods of the New Age and Fear is the Master, where we filmed Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh's ashram in Antelope, and watched hundreds and hundreds involved in dynamic meditation, where they would convulse and fall around and become possessed, and here was the same thing happening to naive Christians who apparently aren't aware of what the Bible tells us, that in the last days there's going to be a huge falling away, and I saw just firsthand.
And I think it's so important that people understand, our ministers, many of them really don't understand the supernatural of the battle. Whale. This is Dr. Stan. And of course, Carol is describing her experience with Todd Bentley as she is ushered into the inner sanctum, and she sees this truly supernatural phenomenon, but it's not of God. God doesn't work this way. And of course, all you need to see is Todd Bentley. He's covered with tattoos of his neck, his arms. I mean, well, of course, he might have certainly been, had a very rough life and been, of course, it's transformed. But the message he is not, of course, preaching is the message of the Scripture, is that he has the power and he can give you the fire. Now, that is not scriptural at all. This is definitely a cult in his background. The difficulty is that this movement is sweeping not only the United States, but the entire world. And many of our listeners may not have heard of it, but this is having a tremendous impact, and I know so many good and wonderful people who really believe that this is a great revival. Well, it is a revival, but it's not a revival of God. I believe it's a revival of Satan, and this is supernatural power that we're going to see increasingly in the months and years that lie ahead. So pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, yes, I mean, one of the very shocking things was just to see the stadium that was able to seat 10,000 people, and it was very, very full. Whether all the rows were filled or not, I don't know. But to see the emotional abandon of thousands of Christians as this music played, very rhythmic, very hypnotic, extremely loud music. I mean, my ears were ringing for a couple of days. I thought they were damaged. I thank God that...
And of course, isn't it amazing, of course, how they've changed the music? And a lot of Christians don't see anything wrong with it. Now, we used to sing wonderful hymns that had a wonderful spiritual message and it would draw us closer to the Lord and focus our attention on the Lord. And
yes, there is no doctrine in these words. I had my notepad with me. I was there as a journalist and trying to record faithfully what was taking place. And certainly the words on the songs were emotional. There was no depth of any type of theology in it until Todd Bentley walked onto the stage, and then that was the first mention of Jesus in the words. But certainly the music was loud and incredible, and it was able to manipulate the crowds into a frenzy of euphoric worship.
And that is, of course, what this loud music is all about. It has an impact upon your soul, on your emotions, and you become swept along, of course, with everybody else into this occult world.
Yep, and this man, Todd Bentley,
Hold that thought for just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Carol Matriciana, and we, of course, Carol, a great deal of Carol's material, but not all of it. And so, Carol, would you like to get your website out there and let people know how they can get in touch with your ministry and get your material?
Yes, thank you. My website is www.caryltv.com. Seven letters, CARYLTV, like television, .com. And I'm a movie producer, video journalist, and made a lot of films on almost 60 documentaries on various topics over the last three decades. And the one that I recently made was called Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil. And it was looking into angelology and looking at these creatures that God handmade, the angels, and why a third of them followed Satan, this bright light, this beautiful creature that the scriptures describe as beauty above beauties. And he was able to take a third of the angels, which are called the fallen angels today, and of course they're the ones that rule, that roam the earth, rule the earth, and long, they're predators that just long to create havoc with human beings. And the movie that I made, Supernatural Powers, I thought was just such a relevant movie, because here's Todd Bentley that says that his apparitions and the angel that's given him all these insights, the one that these angels of wealth and gold that come to him and prosperity, but the leading one is Emma, and she is a female. And, of course, searching, one doesn't have to search far through the scriptures to see that the idea of female angels is just not a scriptural teaching at all. There is a mention in Zechariah of female angels, but these are metaphors for carrying wickedness to Babylon. It's associated, they're associated with uncleanness and wickedness and the apostate Babylonic church. And these, they are two women that have wings, but the wings are birds' wings, and they're unclean birds. They're a stork. So they are clearly metaphors of the unclean. And yet here is Todd, who has been passed on this angel Emma from another hierarchy elitist in this movement, in the prophetic movement, by Bob Jones himself. And Bob Jones is one of Todd Bentley's enablers. But, you know, here we've got high names, Paul Kane, Rick Joyner, all these people who prophesied over Todd Bentley, and they're from the prophetic movement. So, and they've also had these visitations in the third heaven, as they call it, where they've been guided with these visualizations. They visualize these angels that give them gold dust and oil and gemstones and all this sort of thing. Well, I remember when I was in the occult, the way that you get into this realm, this bliss consciousness, is by giving your mind over through visualization and allowing your mind to move into this imagination, into this place of the imagination where the supernatural takes over. And that's the very first commandment of God, says that we have to love the Lord our God with all our mind. We are not allowed as Christians to put our minds into neutral. We're told to bring our minds under the mind of Christ. So the first story we see in Genesis, where this cunning snake, this most cunning of all creatures, got Eve to step out of the authority, step from under the authority of the Word of God by saying, surely God hasn't said. He hasn't changed his tactic. Satan is still telling us to not believe in the Word of God, to undermine the Word of God. Surely the Bible doesn't say that we can't have experiences. And told Eve to look at the fruit, and she imagined that it was good to eat. So through her senses, she had a shift of consciousness and immediately fell prey to the predator and fell into sin through going beyond, outside of God's authority, into her own reasoning, into a supernatural realm, communicating with Satan. And this is what I saw this night of thousands of Christians, is through the music, through their love of wanting to get into the presence of God, really probably wanting to have that presence of God so much, but falling into the sin of covetousness. The 10th commandment says that we shall not covet, we shall not want, because the desire of wanting to be in the presence disconnected, took them out of the authority of God, where the authority of God says that Jesus will never leave us. We're in his presence always. He's with us. He'll never leave us. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift, we are with him and he is with us. So to fall into this supernatural trickery of having somebody lying through signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders, giving us teachings that tickle our ears, doctrines of demons, by false prophets, the church is just in a terrible, terrible state. And for me to have seen it firsthand, I never thought, Dr. Stan, I would see it. I mean, I've seen it in the occult world. I've seen the crowds in India at the Kumbh Mela come under the enchantment of the godmen. I've seen them falling down as the godmen touched them, and realizing that you're in India, in a pagan nation, in a heathen environment. But, oh my goodness, to see this with disciples of Jesus Christ, Christians who call themselves Christian pastors, to take this to their churches in New Zealand and Australia and Scotland and Ireland, it was a travesty.
And, of course, the thing is that this is really sweeping across the world, and the average Christian is not aware of this and not being told about it. But certainly in certain Christian circles and those related to certain parts of television, this is being popularized. This is being pushed. We're all looking for that miracle that's going to save the world, that's going to save our society so we can continue this same corrupt society we live in today.
Yes. But and we're then, not of course, to... the preparation for what the Bible tells us is going to be the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, who's going to set himself up to rule the world. And so what better way but to have all these false teachers say, come, here is Christ, come, there is Christ. So we have people coming from New Zealand and Australia to Kansas City and Lakeland, Florida, and Los Angeles to receive this imparting because here's Christ and there's Christ. And to have the mark, kind of, to have their foreheads touched. And as you remember, Dr. Stan, I made that movie on Harry Potter to show our children are getting indoctrinated, conditioned with their heads being touched with the mark. And so here are the young generation for 10 years of Harry Potter conditioning, where Harry Potter has a mark put on his forehead with by the evil Lord Voldemort as he kills Harry Potter's parents. And Harry has this lightning bolt, which is the mark of the supernatural, which itches in him and burns in him when the evil Lord Voldemort is around. And we're told in the last days that the world is going to take the mark on their forehead. So to touch people on their forehead is becoming part of the conditioning, whereas for those of us that have come from the occult, we understand that this touch, the shaktipat, the touch of power from the God-men, is not something that we want to be associated with.
And I think that, Chris, it's so important that people understand. There's, incidentally, some excellent articles on Barrett Chose's website, crossroad.to. That's crossroad.to. And Barrett has written extensively about Todd Bentley and of course, the things that he's doing. And certainly, we recommend that website. Is there any other place that where people can get information, Carol, that you can think of?
Oh, do you know, I mean, I Googled continually on, just take the Google and type in Todd Bentley. There are so many wonderful apologetic ministries, so many bloggers. I thank the bloggers for having gone up and kept tabs on this man, because I think while, yes, he has swept through the world, and while God TV has promoted him, the internet has also worked against him in the sense of those people that are well immersed in Bible knowledge and apologists who understand have been able to warn people. So you know, there's a lot of good information out there.
And at Lighthouse Trails, lighthousetrails.com, up on the Internet, they have a lot of excellent information on Todd Bentley. And you need to get the information, and you need to reach Christians. So many people are looking for that supernatural experience. Christianity is itself a supernatural experience, but you're not going to get this from going to somebody who claims that they've seen an apparition and now can touch you. And basically, when people are touched, it's like sort of Benny Hinn. He touches them. Many times he doesn't even touch them. He just points at them and puts out his hand, and they fall over into dead trance.
You see that the danger within paganism, I mean, one of the scriptures, it says, do not let, you know, don't let people lay hands on you suddenly. And in order to, when in the scriptures as well, when the deacons laid hands on for healing, they were people that had, Paul had said, make sure that your deacons have certain standards. There were certain biblical standards of holiness that these men had to have in order to be able to lay hands on for healing. But Todd Bentley is a liar. He has been caught in lies. He says that he never had, well, just one tiny story of just his tattoos. He said he wasn't tattooed after he became a Christian. But actually in the last 2.5 to 5 years is when he's had most of his tattoos put on him. And then he said, lying again, that Jesus told him to put the tattoos on. Well, Jesus clearly says in the scriptures, at least the scriptures tell us, that we're not to lacerate and mark our bodies. So this is a pagan ritual where in a lot of pagan ceremonies, blood had to be drawn, just like the prophets of Baal lacerated themselves and drew blood. So, you know, to vandalize our bodies, which are the temple of God, we would no more think about vandalizing somebody else's property and a home and a church or a car. How can we vandalize our own body, which is the temple of God? This isn't appropriate. And we're told to test the scriptures, and yet the prophetic movement tell us that they say, the leaders, the elitists say, that they must drive out those people that test spirits because they're too religious, they're religious-minded, they're full of pride. That's those of us that test the spirit, which is a biblical mandate, are being told by the prophetic movement that we are to be driven out of the church. So in other words, demons are saying that they're not allowed to come under the authority of Scripture. Of course they're going to say that.
And people really do not understand the true nature of the spiritual battle. Pretty one of my favorite books on this subject, we carry it, is called Hostage to the Devil. It's written by Father Malachi Martin. It's the story of five people who were demonically possessed. People find it very difficult to believe that this can go on in our world. We saw this some years ago in The Exorcist, but we also have to understand this is not imaginary. It's really very real. Well, let's go to Barbara calling from Santa Cruz. Barbara, did you have a question that you wanted to ask?
Yeah, just a quick question, Carol. You were there and saw Todd Bentley and sensed that he did have power of some kind. And so many of the people were affected by it. Was it your experience or your knowledge that kept you from being affected as others were?
Oh, Barbara, I didn't even go. I know the danger of the Shaktipat. And absolutely in no way would I have allowed this man who I have tested against Scripture to have touched me. So I did not go in any way, shape, or form to willingly give my body as a vessel to this person. I went as a video journalist, as a voyeur, as somebody to see this in order to come and be able to warn the church as to what was taking place, you know.
Knowingly, you know, you knew to stay away from what he was actually doing.
Well, Barbara, I've actually come from an occult background. I was born and raised in India, and I've seen the Shaktipat power be passed through the godmen and the gurus the way that the forehead is touched. I think where I am so deeply grieved is that something that is so overtly pagan and a totally an Eastern mystic ritual, an occultic ritual, has come into the church transformed as an angel of light with ministers that, that these servants of, supposedly called servants of God, these ministers of righteousness supposedly, have allowed lying spirits to come into them, and for the church not to know their Bible well enough to know that this is wrong, rebellious, out of line. It's just, this is what I think the reason I came on the show was because having filmed hundreds and thousands of these disciples at the Kumbh Mela in India, where millions come for the impartation of power by their gurus, and then filming again in Antelope, Oregon, when Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, this God-man guru, bought a little town in Oregon, and hundreds of his followers, thousands of his followers came from Europe and all over to be touched by him, to be in his presence, to be in the bliss state, to be touched, their front lobes to be touched, etc., etc. But knowing that comes from the world of darkness is one thing. Seeing it in the middle of the church is what broke my heart, because before my very eyes, I now see the fulfillment of Scripture, where the apostasy is here, and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians, pastors, ministers, people in the crowd that obviously believe they're Christians, were willing to have themselves opened up to become possessed. by unclean spirits.
And, of course, the thing is that, our job is to try to warn people, and those who will hear, and those who are not going to hear, there's nothing we can do about them. People want something more than simply the spirit. They want the ability to have the same power themselves without realizing this is demonic power that we're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization. Barbara, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think Carol just said it very well, that we were just seeing the fact that our churches are not teaching the people the true scriptures, so that they are so easily deluded by these forces.
And we do hope that many of our listeners out there will want to get copies of this program, and you're welcome to copy them, get them from us, copy them, get them to your minister, get them to your friends. Understand the great apostasy is underway, the one we're told will be take place before the man of sin is revealed. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll be right back, and thank you so much, Barbara. Well, Carol, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program, so you go right ahead.
Well, I think the scripture that came to mind while I was there, and still does again, just emblazoned, is the one from 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul was warning the Corinthians, saying, "I'm afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus Christ. And if one comes and preaches another Jesus," which is what Todd Bentley did, "another spirit," which is what Todd Bentley did, "or a different gospel," which is what Todd Bentley did, "you have accepted it so beautifully." Those were Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 11. And that's what I saw, another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit, by this man from the prophetic movement, which is sweeping across the world. And here were pastors coming to receive the impartation so that they could take it to their churches and pass it through their touch onto others. So, I would encourage people, if they want to get my movie Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, which tells the biblical explanation of God's ministering angels and Satan's fallen angels and what can be done, to try and learn about the supernatural realms and see the differences. But this man encourages people to go into the supernatural realm, which is not what scriptures tell us to do, and to communicate with the spirit world and with dead spirits, again, totally unbiblical. So I just thank you, Dr. Stan, for giving me the opportunity of being able to speak out and warn Christians that the apostasy is here, and we need to stick close with Jesus, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the way is narrow, but broad is the gate that leads to destruction." And I saw that broad gate the other weekend.
Oh, we actually want to remind you that we actually carry the video, The Supernatural, that Carol Matrician has put out, and we do hope that many of you want to get that. If you call in 1-800-544-8927, simply ask for mention Carol Matrician, The Supernatural. We carry the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by Malachi Martin, who actually writes about five people who are demonically possessed. It was my first real introduction to the occult back in 1980. We carry the book because you need to understand this is real. We have a four-tape set on the supernatural. We carry, of course, the book entitled Satanic Crime, is written by William H. Kennedy, and how you carry forward these supernatural powers into the key positions in government and the power structure of the world today. That's Satanic Crimes. We actually have a four-tape set by the same title, Satanic Crimes, four-tape and four-CD set. We have my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. Certainly we have a talk called The Planned Police State, and without a syllabus, and when you get the syllabus, you'll get some of the writings from the occult side. And I'm sure if you'd like a copy of their pamphlet that they put out, not the what we put out, but what they put out, it's called The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. It was a document that was actually channeled to Alice Bailey 50 or 60 years ago, talking about how they rule the world, how they have their people planted in key positions in finance and government and education and in both the East and the West, meaning both in communism and in the West. This is not imaginary, it's real, and we're moving into a climax of the world's history. We're moving into a war with Iran, and it's coming very soon. You're going to see the collapse of the dollar, the loss of everything you have from a material point of view. You certainly want to make all your preparations now, as if it's up to you, but pray as if it's up to God, because in the final analysis, only God is going to see us through the terrible times that lie ahead. And I'm not making this up. This is very real. It's scriptural, and we're going to be doing a series of programs with Pastor Billy Crone on his DVD series, The Final Countdown. And I think you'll really enjoy hearing him, and I hope you'll want to get his DVDs. They're well worthwhile. They will help you to reach others with the understanding of what's going on. If you have not yet seen the DVDs put out by our friend Joe Schimmel, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Why you want to get that, it talks about the satanic influence within the music industry, but of course it's in government as well today. But they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. If you watch that, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. And then, of course, we also suggest Pastor Joe Schimmel's DVD, The Da Vinci Con. The Da Vinci Con, very, very well done. And then, of course, if you're interested in some of the other things, of course, we've written my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You should read or watch the DVD by that title. You need to hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret and the sequel to that entitled Secret Knowledge. Secret Knowledge. There. And there's a DVD that goes with the Forbidden Secret, as there is with the syllabus that goes with the DVD, The Planned Police State. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, and scroll down to other videos. They were all taken down a couple of days ago, and suddenly when we talked about them on the radio, they're all back up there again. So suddenly that's other videos, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty.